We enjoy having children all the way from baby to whatever age in here, 55. Did I hear? Okay. Here in the worship and during communion, and we do not mind baby sounds or children sounds during that time. We take them as amens, whether it sounds like it's an amen, you should, tone it down a little bit, or an amen, go on. However, we can take it however we want, but we value having kids with us in that worship time. And now they're going back not to be babysat, but to hear more of the Bible story. And so we're really, really thankful for that we have folks who are willing to invest in these children during the time. While we're in here, they're in there, and they're learning their Bible story. So this morning, we're going to be in Acts 11. And I invite you to open your Bible there to Acts 11. And I'm going to give an explanation for this just momentarily. We've been going through the book of Acts on Sunday night. We've been going through the book of Romans on Sunday morning. But we are going to flip that. And we are going to be in Acts, tracking the adventures of the Apostle Paul and the early church from Acts chapter 11 all the way through Acts 28 on Sunday mornings. And we're going to be in Romans on Sunday night. But this is the perfect juncture because Paul has just encountered Christ, or more accurately put, Christ has encountered the Apostle Paul, and Paul has been converted, and now the gospel is being expanded. As far as the scope of the gospel, in Acts chapter 1 all the way through chapter 10, the gospel is mostly going to the Jews. Peter is preaching to the Jews. Stephen preached to the Jews. But right here in the middle of Acts, about Acts 10 and 11, there's a transition. And God gives Peter a vision, and is basically letting him know, just putting him on notice, that this gospel is not just for Jews, that it is for Gentiles as well. So God just blows the lid off of this thing and says, I want to save Gentiles in addition to Jews. And he's going to save them the same way. He's going to save them by bringing the gospel of Jesus to their ears and their hearts. And so this morning, I want to begin this adventure of tracking Paul and tracking this early church. And I want us to know that this narrative of Acts and this history of the church has not been completed. If you look at the end of the book of Acts, there is no amen at the end of this book. For precisely that reason, the history, the record, the account of the church is still being written. It's still being lived out. And we are part of that narrative, because God has us on an adventurous journey with Him. Let's read from Acts 11. This is powerful. It's a wonderful account of how God brought the gospel to the Gentiles. And it's a recount, because Peter is going to report what's already happened and has already been recorded in Acts 10. And we'll look at it briefly this morning. And I trust that we'll all be built up in the love of Jesus. Verse 1, chapter 11. Book of Acts. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Inerrant, undiluted. And we pray that you would bring the message you have for us to our hearts today. And may we leave here full of gladness and wonder at the great salvation that you have brought to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, God was working in Peter's life, who was a Jew, and God was working in the life of the centurion and his family and his friends, who was a Gentile. God would take a Jew, Peter, someone steeped in the law, ceremonial law, someone who was circumcised, and he would use Peter to bring that great gospel of grace to the Gentiles. Peter would be an eyewitness. God granted him a vision. God spoke through an angel to Cornelius. God's at work. God is orchestrating this great shift in the gospel, in the direction of the gospel. God expands it, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, to as many who God would call to salvation. And Peter recounts this. Let's look at the circumstances of this record of the early church. Look at verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea, so Judea is that land where Jerusalem is located, and primarily that spot for the Jews. And the Bible says that they were throughout Judea, and they heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. This is a great lesson for us. The news had traveled fast. Because the next verse says, and when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. So the word about the Gentiles and their reception of the gospel, the message of Jesus, got back to Jerusalem before Peter got back to Jerusalem. News travels fast, even in those days. And when Peter gets back, what happens? Those who were circumcised, meaning fellow Jews, took issue with him. They're not happy with him. And this is what they said. Verse 3, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. First point I want you to hear this morning is that there's an objection. There's an objection to what God is doing and plans to do among the Gentiles. There's an objection toward Peter and his involvement in God's plan to bring salvation to the Gentiles. You, Peter, went to uncircumcised men, and you not only went to them, you ate with them. What would that mean in the Jewish mindset of food laws and ceremonial law? What would that mean? It would mean that Peter was unclean. It would mean that Peter had violated God's law by eating with Gentiles. We know the centurion was a Gentile. And so Peter is called on the carpet. He's called out for this. You were involved in this. And so there's this great objection. This is really important. Because these Jews, these fellow Jews are basically saying, you know, you have to be like one of us in order to receive God's love. You have to observe the laws. You have to observe the food laws. You have to stay away from those filthy Gentiles in order to be saved. I wonder what will happen. Verse 4. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying. And this is where he recounts the whole story and how God worked in his life and how God worked in the centurion's life. And it's fascinating. I mean, to think of the lengths that God would go to get this message across to Peter and to his fellow Jewish believers in order to bring the Gentiles into the fold. In order to save the Gentile. In order to get them to heaven. And so Peter gives the account. So at this point, we're leaving the objection and we're going to the reflection. Peter remembering what took place and explaining this to those who are questioning him. In verse 5, he says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. I love this. Listen, folks, good things happen when you pray. Praying is not a waste of time. Good things happen when you pray. Peter says, I was praying. And in a trance, he says, I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky. And he says, it came right down to me. So he is just explaining to these fellow Jewish believers what happened to him. And he says, and when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. He said, I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord. So the voice was the Lord. For nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And so the Lord is showing him these various food sources on this sheet. And these food sources are unclean. Unclean food sources that God is declaring clean. Because the same voice speaks to Peter and says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And then Peter says, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. I've observed these food laws all my life. Why would I change now? Why would I do anything different now than I've done before? But a voice came from heaven a second time. A voice from heaven answered a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And then verse 10 is instructive. This happened three times. Have you ever had to be told more than once to do something, or shown more than once to do something, to finally obey, to finally get in line and work it out, meet the goal, achieve the objective? Three times with Peter here. Three times he had to hear this voice. And he says, it happened three times and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And then verse 11, and behold, meaning, see this. See what? He says, and behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. So the God who was at work in Peter, who was in Joppa, is also working in Cornelius, who was in Caesarea, a Gentile. A centurion, a Roman soldier. Caesarea was located in Judea, but everything about Caesarea said the Romans rule. It's where their military hunkered down. It was that established place of Roman influence right there in Judea. If you walked in Caesarea, you weren't reminded of Judaism, you were reminded of Rome. They're foreigners, but they're not far away. And so the Lord's working. And Peter says in verse 12, the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. So get the picture. Peter sees this sheet. God says, what has been previously unclean is now clean. Rise, kill, and eat. And at that moment that the sheet went back into the sky, three men come from Caesarea, and the Spirit, according to Peter, says to go with them without misgivings. In other words, don't delay. Don't make excuses. Just go with them. And then six brethren, verse 12, also went with him. And he says, we entered the man's house. We entered the house of Cornelius. And we've got a record of that. If you'll turn back to chapter 10 and verse 24. It's a significant verse, and it's picturesque in allowing us to see into that room, into that house of Cornelius. Verse 24 of chapter 10 says, "On the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends." It tells you about Cornelius, that this man is a God-fearer. But he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know specifically how to be saved, but he has reverence for God. And so God has been working in his life. God's been speaking to him through an angel. God has been preparing his heart to hear the gospel from the mouth of Peter. That's exciting. And what's really interesting, and I think telling of Cornelius, is that he had invited his relatives and close friends to hear the message that Peter was going to speak to them. Oh, that all God's people would have that kind of zeal to say, "Hey, I'm going to hear something good. I'm going to hear a gospel that has saved and changed and transformed my soul and my life and will change me forevermore throughout eternity. Come with me. You've got to hear this message." We could learn a great deal from Cornelius. And not only that, that although he was a God-fearer, he did not know Jesus. He was an almsgiver. He gave his money. He was generous. He feared God. He had reverence for God. He's even an evangelist, inviting relatives and friends, but he does not yet know the forgiveness that comes through Christ. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. He enters this house. He says, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel. This is verse 13 in chapter 11. He, Cornelius, reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." You have any household members that need to hear the message of the gospel? I mean, neighbors, relatives, friends that need to hear the gospel? That's the business that we should be about, in bringing those within earshot or under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the Scriptures, to hear this great gospel story, the infinite love of God expressed through Christ. He will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, this is Peter talking, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. This is called the Gentile Pentecost. What did it tell the Jews? It told them that God is not treating believing Gentiles any different than he treated believing Jews. God does not expect the Gentile to jump through Jewish hoops in order to be saved. And the same loving God who saved the Jews will also save the Gentiles. The same God who gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to believing Jews will give the gift of the Holy Spirit to believing Gentiles. What a message. That's our God. He shows no partiality. We see that right here. The Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did us at the beginning. And then Peter says, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And he did say that. John preached this. John the Baptist back in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist says, Jesus is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will give the gift of the Holy Spirit to folks who believe. And he gives that gift upon their belief in him. And then he says, he will also baptize in fire. John made it plain that there are two things going on. There are, for those who believe, they receive the Holy Spirit and they receive the promise of eternity in heaven with Christ. And those who refuse to believe will receive the fiery judgment of God. And John goes on to say his winnowing fork is in his hand. And he is at this time separating the wheat from the chaff. Those who would be saved through faith in Jesus and those who would refuse and reject Jesus Christ. The only means, the only way of salvation. And we need to keep that clear. We need to preach it just like they said it. And while it's not comfortable to hear about a fiery judgment, it's not comfortable to hear about eternal hell. That's what's at stake. That is exactly what's at stake. Peter says in verse 16, "And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore," and this is the conclusion, this is where this is his bottom line. "Therefore, if God gave to them," the "them" there refers to the Gentiles, Cornelius' house specifically, "the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God. And this is what they said. "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." Whew. There could have been huge division here. And just in case we think that the problem was solved forever right here, there's an Acts 15 and there's a Galatians 2:20 where the problem comes back again. What does it mean to be a Christian? Does a Gentile have to adopt Jewish views of ceremonial law and other laws in order to be a Christian or not? And the answer comes back time and time and time again. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And the third point today is just instruction. That if you who are here today and do not know Jesus Christ, if you will turn from your sin, that's what the word repent, if you will turn from your sin, turn from your unbelief, your unbelieving ways, look at Jesus Christ. Look at all he's done for you. Trust him for salvation. You will be saved. The message is repent and believe in Jesus. And you will be saved. You can trust him, the only one who's ever risen from the grave, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in so doing, you can begin your great adventure of following Christ. Because there is never a dull moment when we commit our lives to him and we trust him day in and day out. Never a dull moment. God has us on a great adventure together. And I think in the next days and weeks and months to come, we will see the work of God, his hand on his local church body, doing things that we never would have even been able to describe. That's our God. Never lose the wonder of following Christ. Let's stand together. We'll have a hymn of invitation. If you're in need of prayer, if you're in need of coming forward this morning to make a profession of faith in Christ, today's your day and now is your time. As we sing.
Let's turn to number 34.